we are now going to turn our attention to what is going on with U.S. military presence in Africa. The Washington Post is reported just yesterday that the U.S. has pledged $60 million to build a new African counterterrorism force. U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley is all over that. And the AFRICOM, a lot of people are now finding out about AFRICOM, which is the U.S. Africa Command. And we, indeed, on Sojourner Truth, had covered AFRICOM in the past, and indeed, we have discussed it with our guest of today, Amira Wood. Now, October 4th, four U.S. soldiers were killed in an ambush in Niger. The incident sparked a lot of questions, including for many people, what exactly is the U.S. military doing in Africa? A military presence called AFRICOM was formed in 2007 under George W. Bush with a stated goal of training and working with local forces to counter terrorism and to stabilize the region. What we're going to do now before we bring in Amira Woods, let's go to a clip from CBSN. A discussion on why were U.S. service members in Niger.
A corrosive political spat broke out over the issue of respect for fallen soldiers and their families. We begin with a look at what sparked this new low in America, an October 4th attack in Niger, where four American soldiers, Brian Black, Jeremiah Johnson, LaDavid Johnson, and Dustin Wright, were killed when they were reportedly ambushed by Islamic State extremists. Joining us now to answer some of the questions about the attack are Michael Morrell, CBS News senior national security contributor and former number two at the CIA, and CBS News national security correspondent David Martin. Mike, I want to start with you before we get a sense of what exactly happened. Why were U.S. servicemen there?
John, it has been U.S. policy for some time to support those nations facing a terrorist threat. One of the key pieces of that support is to train, advise, and assist local militaries. One of the places we were doing that was Niger. Niger faces a significant threat from a robust Al-Qaeda group and a growing ISIS group. Both of those are located in Mali, but they come across that border and conduct attacks in Niger. Americans might ask, why were we there helping the Nigerians? And the answer is, while this is a regional threat today, it could be a threat to Europe tomorrow, and it could be a threat to the homeland the day after that. So we're there trying to keep this under control so that it doesn't become a significant threat to the United States. It's a policy that makes sense. I support it.
All righty. There you go. Well, let us welcome back to Sojourner Truth, Amira, Associate Fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and an expert on U.S. foreign policy with a special emphasis on Africa and the developing world. She's written a range of issues from debt, trade, and development to U.S. military policy. She's involved with the International Working Group as well as Africans Rising for Justice, Peace, and Dignity. Amira, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you and Pacifica listeners.
Yeah, it's been way too long, Amira. So a lot of what you have been talking about for some time, people are now finding out about. But before we get into the details here, just straighten this out for us, because there's a great debate going on. There's Niger. And then there's the River Niger, which a lot of those of us of African descent know about the River Niger. And so people were referring to Niger as Niger. Just help us.
It's all Anglophone, Francophone, but most people tend to say Niger. And again, the Francophone in particular, they call the River Niger as well. And certainly the country. But I think the most important thing is to, again, after we see Donald Trump making up new names
yep.
for African countries that don't exist, right? I think it's great that you start off asking, but you know, it's acceptable either way, Anglophone or Francophone, but most people, I think, on the continent say Niger.
Right, and of course it is to the colonial, you know, the way the colonial powers carved up Africa. Now, in that last clip, and we're hearing that AFRICOM is in Niger to help Nigerian people. Tell us a bit about the growing presence of the U.S. military, but also not only the U.S., other military forces from Europe on the continent, and what you think is really behind it. I mean, there is the, you know, the thing about concern about, quote unquote, the rise of terrorism and terrorists, quote-unquote terrorists, using Africa as a base of operations. We also know that with the U.S. going after Gaddafi in Libya and so many arms then being taken out of Libya and going into places like Mali, and has really helped with the destabilization of the entire region. Give us some analysis here.
This is why I love Sojourner Truth Radio, because you just hit the nail on the head every time. You hit it out of the park, right? So, Margaret, I think, first of all, let's reframe this conversation, because it is not the U.S. military going in to help. Let's be clear. It is the U.S. military causing harm, causing long-term harm and detrimental impacts. So let's back this up to, you know, under the U.S. militarism, let's say, to start, has a long history in terms of the African continent. But more recently, I think we have to say, you know, it has reared its ugly head with the start of AFRICOM, the U.S. Africa Command, which was a creation of Donald Rumsfeld, the defense chief of George Bush, announced it first in 2006, and then it was it became operational in October 2007. So 10 years we have had the U.S. military expanding its muscle on the African continent. And it started out with complete resistance, I would say. Well, maybe not totally complete. You did have some countries like mine, Liberia, where the government said you can have your headquarters in Liberia. But in spite of that, a continental stance was held up to make sure that if the U.S. wanted to set up its Africa Command, they would not have headquarters on the continent. And so the headquarters of the Africa Command was established in Stuttgart and remains 10 years later still in Stuttgart, because that continental stance has held. In spite of that continental stance, there have been so many ways in which the U.S. military has asserted itself in detrimental fashion, running amok throughout the continent. It is through uniformed officers. It is through drones. It is through private military contractors, private intelligence contractors. Essentially, the entire, particularly regions that are, as you so well know, Margaret, you know, resource rich. You know, so when we talk about places like Niger, it is places that are rich, particularly Niger, in uranium, large deposits of uranium. It is rich in gold, in oil, and new discoveries of oil throughout the Chad Basin, and the whole river basin now. Wow. In the Sahel, you know. So the interests, let's be clear, it's about the resources. This is why AFRICOM's first major dramatic mission was the ouster of Gaddafi in Libya. The AFRICOM supposedly led from behind with NATO leading in front, but essentially AFRICOM playing a very dramatic role in the ouster of Gaddafi. Why? Because of the resources in Libya and the interests of the U.S., both U.S. multinational corporations and with the backing of the U.S. government, interested in accessing those resources now and into the future. So the resources are key. You follow the money, right? It's like your listeners know this well. You follow the money. And I think the other thing that is critical to understand in terms of the context of the Sahel, it's the region just below the Sahara Desert. It's a region, because Africa is at the epicenter of the climate catastrophe that is suffering now. already, not into the future, but already the impacts of climate change today. So you have added pressures on land that, you know, that is also putting pressures on populations. And then the third thing we have to draw out is, you know, the economies of these regions. These economies have been, in spite of the fact that they are resource rich, these economies have been completely depleted from the days of colonialism to neocolonialism. And you know, unfortunately, you know, dependent on World Bank, International Monetary Fund models of development that essentially give priorities to, you know, foreign direct investment from multinational corporations, you know, getting rid of government regulations, letting corporations do whatever they want as part of a development model. It's a model that has not worked for many of the economies. And so you have a population of particularly young people. You know, Niger has 19 million people, a large proportion of whom are young people without jobs. Right. So, you know, so you have all of these both economic, environmental pressures that are creating a circumstance that is incredibly volatile. And to that mix, you add the U.S. now sending in more basically weapons. Right. There's a lot of attention in the clip that you played on, you know, training and assisting. It's all good. Right. But what your listeners should hear is that the U.S. is sending a steady flow of weapons into the continent under this guise of countering terrorism, under this this real quest for control and access to resources, right? So the flow of weapons into the continent is what is causing this real toxic waste. So in spite of the fact that you are hearing these claims of countering terrorism, you're actually creating a circumstance where you're breeding further instability now and into the future. So when we think about AFRICOM, we should think about the U.S. spreading its muscle and expanding, you know, with now the generals controlling this administration even further, expanding the role of the Department of Defense, the role of the U.S. military, clearly around the world, but especially in and around the African continent. And I think it's important, as you also rightly say, to underscore that it's not only the U.S., right? So the French military is really expanding also its military might in and around not only the Sahel, but particularly in the Sahel, in resource-rich areas. And to this mix now, we have to also add China, because now China, as of this year, has a military base for the first time in Djibouti as well. So you see now China, with its interest as well in the resources of the continent, expanding its military presence on the continent. So it's not only the U.S., but I think it is incumbent upon us, being based here in the U.S., to draw out, in particular, the disastrous role that the U.S. military has played historically, but even more so in this past 10 years with the creation, expansion, and now, you know, it seems like unabated might of the U.S. Africa Command.
You know, Amira, I can't help but think of how, in terms of economic interests of the U.S. and also of Europe, going back in history, it was the trade in human beings. And, you know, not to let some of the Arab nations, who were also involved in the slave trade before of trading in human flesh, before the chattel slavery, you know, perfected in a way and go taken to a whole other level by Britain and, you know, France and the Netherlands and the U.S. So that was then. And now, in terms of economic interests, you're quite right in terms of the concern is the fact that Africa is the richest continent on the planet in terms of resources under the ground. And it seems to me as though they're interested in really keeping a certain number of people on the continent around, but most of them could really go. They could just die. They could just create proxy wars, confusion, hunger, whatever it is, because you just need the people, a limited number, to work for you to get those resources from under the ground so that we could live the kind of lifestyle with our cell phones and televisions and everything else and weapons that are so dependent then on that wealth under the continent, under the ground on the continent, Amira.
Without a doubt, Margaret, I think we have to say Democratic and Republican administrations from time immemorial, you know, this is the history, this is the path, right, of accessing and controlling resources from the African world. You know, it is the resources of Africa that are vital for the global economy from the slave trade till today. This is the reality, right? I think what we have now under this Trump administration, two things. First, you have a president, it's not only at the UN last month in September when he so blatantly, you know, well, first said the wrong name of the created a country, Namibia, right? But more importantly, right, he was so blatant in saying, my friends are in your continent getting rich. I mean,
oh yeah, I remember that. Amazing. Yeah.
So, you know, so been so out front to say, well, this is what we're doing. We're in your continent getting rich. Mm-hmm. So, in a way, I think it's important because Africa has been framed as the poor continent, right? Without recognizing the richness of Africa that has created a situation where the global economy has created this structure of extraction, where the resources are extracted, the people are rendered invisible, especially people in communities where these resources lie, rendered completely invisible, right? And multinational corporations come and go as they please, take out what they want with full backing of the U.S. government and the U.S. military. So I think, you know, we've never had such clarity. It's like the masks are taking off, you know, just to say that, no, the U.S. their interests are in, you know, getting rich, you know, and it's, let's be clear, it's a handful of people. This is the capitalist economy that we're in, a handful of people getting rich at the expense of the majority and particularly the expense of Black and brown people on this planet. You know, so I think we're at a stage where, you know, it's not new, but it's just become much more clear, right? And I think we are also at a stage with this administration where, you know, typically you have other forces within the government. You have development organizations and agencies and actors. You have diplomacy, you know, they're trying to at least temper what's happening with the Department of Defense.
And
now it's literally the generals that are calling the shots without anyone else even in positions to make decisions or to counterbalance what the generals are saying.
Amira, I can't believe how the time has flown. We're going to have to continue this conversation because I didn't even get to half of what I wanted to discuss. But we are going to be, Amira, discussing the controversial election in Kenya. I want to hear more from you about Africans Rising that you are a part of. So please come back very, very soon so we can just uncover more of this. So we appreciate you joining us and so sorry that we're out of time. I'm sad to say.
No worries. I remain a total fan. Thanks for all you do.
All right.
Bye.